him once more as Brother Colley comes. Oh, it's in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever.
And be back in the house of the Lord again. And just thanking our listen, brother, for preaching, having love one for another, one to another. You never know what kind of people you face each day if you don't have love to go on and take God's word. You never know. I think when Friday, a couple of weeks ago, I was getting on the expressway. Somebody ran up behind me, come up beside me, and revved his engine. Looked at me like he wanted to kill me for some reason, but I don't know why. And then he speeded up and cut in front of me and tried to jam on the brakes. But I said, well, I know the back way. So you can just have this expressway, I'm going another way. What's safe? So, God protects us. I was in this grocery store. This little boy, about 2 or 3 years old, he just kept looking at me, growling. His mama said he think he's King Kong. I said, well, that's all right. Just don't attack me. God. Just love them anyway. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 92. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this hour. We thank you for being with us. God, we thank you for coming into this earth, Lord, and imparting your love into our hearts. Father, we ask you to give us strength, Lord, wherever we go, that we love according to your word and according to your way. Lord, let us not be rowdy and fight back. Lord, it's not our fight. Lord, let us be having peace in our heart. Lord, we love one for another. Lord, each day as we pray, let us pray for one another. God, for we know that you loved us, and you still love us, and wherever we go, Lord, we thank you for being merciful and kind unto us. Lord, we ask you to bless each of our brothers and sisters that's present this morning. Father, if they have a need, Lord, let us take it unto you. God, just speak and ask your love and kindness to be upon them. Heal the bodies, the souls, Lord Jesus, and deliver them. We ask for the ones who are not able to be here this morning, God, that your Holy Spirit will just go and abide and comfort them. Father, we love you. We will ever hold fast unto your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the parsley, upon the harp, with a solemn sound.
For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy words. I will triumph in the works of thy hands.
O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the works of iniquity do flourish, is that they shall be destroyed forever. For lo, thine enemy, O Lord, for lo, thine enemy shall perish. All the works of iniquity shall be scattered. Mine eyes also shall see my desire of my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
These that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. If you can say that with assurance that he is your rock. He's your rock, then you're in his righteousness, not of your own. Brother Michael, would you come this morning? First tithes and offering. Sing that song, I Feel Like Traveling On. Amen. He gives us the strength to keep pressing on in this battle, knowing that he's the one in charge. Amen. Do you feel like traveling on this morning? I tell you, just seeing a lot of these older believers keep pushing on, Sister Cleta, Sister Gwen, and the other ones. You give us, at least you give me virtue to keep coming to the house of the Lord. And when I think about how I'm feeling, I have to get that self out of the way. Know that there's a brotherly kindness there that I need to get up and go to church and go out and let him show it through our lives.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel. My head.
clap of praise.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here. Good to see you smiling faces. Good to be rejuvenated here. We've come to the day of a resurrection. If I can get this computer to resurrect, you might be okay. All right, here we go. Man, what were the days you just read it off your notes? They're about gone now. So good to have each and every one of you here. Thank you all for the job that you did yesterday at the funeral. The sisters and brothers and everybody that participated. It was a wonderful celebration of a man that we had known for a better part of 90% of my life, and a lot of yours, and those of you that didn't know him but for a short period of time. He was still an impact on your life. He was solid as a rock. We appreciate Brother Howell, and we love him. We love all the family. And I know the family says thank you so very much also from them. So just keep remembering, there's a hole there. All right? We pray that God will fill that hole, fill that gap of a person that walked among us and now they've passed on. They went higher. That's graduation day. But we'll see him again. We won't see him have to have a cane walk in the door. We won't see him have to try to hide his gray hair maybe or something. But nope, he'll be just as young can be. So we have that as a surety, not a thought, but it's a fact that we as Christians, we believe in resurrection. Amen. We believe in resurrection. You better believe in resurrection. Wow. Bible says we'd be men most miserable if they not be a hope of a resurrection. And in the end time, we have a surety that we're going to see it one way or the other. Alive and remain or pass on, we're going to see it. Amen. There's no other age. There's no other time. This is it. All right? So let's remember the Thomas family and the ones that are associated with them. We sure do appreciate them. Remember that today will be communion after second service. And also, as Brother Ryan has announced, there's plenty of food for everyone here to eat. So when we finish here, we'll go downstairs. I want to thank Sister Rachel and the different ones. I can't name them all. But everybody that helped yesterday in serving the food and getting the food, we have been, dealing with that a little bit back and forth. So they kind of took it off of us. And I appreciate that Sister June didn't have to do anything, and Mom and different ones. So we thank you so very much for that. Because we're all fighting a battle. Everybody's fighting a battle somewhere, somehow, so we're all fighting one. All right, so remember that. And then also remember this coming Saturday, I'll be speaking Wednesday. This coming Saturday will be Bible study from 5 to 6. We'll have prayer service here. And then from 6 to 8, we'll have Bible study downstairs. All right, and Brother David Gadman will be with us that weekend, so they'll be here that night, but he'll be speaking both services next Sunday, so just keep that in your prayer. The next Wednesday, Brother Bob will be speaking, and then on the 15th, Brother George Quinn from Ireland will be here, and he'll be here for the whole weekend. I got to get in touch with him. We may have a Saturday night, Sunday morning service just for him. On October 29th, Brother Ryan's already announced this, but Brother Vernon Manahan will be here from the Philippines. There'll only be one service, and then we'll have our fall festival down at the City Park in Gillsville, all right? So just keep that in prayer. Also, just something as a note of coming up, man, it's already October. November the 12th will be our Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. There'll be more. Just make sure November the 12th, we'll have our Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. And then on December the 10th will be our Christmas dinner at the at Hidden Acres, like we always do on December the 10th. That'll be our church Christmas dinner. And just remember that. All right. All minds clear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Forgive us for our sins, our many mistakes, Lord, that we make. Lord, we want a clean slate. Everyone start today, Lord, with you, Lord, being the center of everything that we do, Father. We pray that now the ones that have made an effort to come here, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and sanctify us, Lord, here for the hearing of the word. Lord, be with the Thomas family, Lord, and just fill that gap of our brother that's passed on. Lord, he's in your arms now, not figured, but figuratively. He's with all the ones that's passed on, Brother Tatum, all the ones he's known from here and different ones. He's standing in his youth, and he's not bent over anymore and doesn't need a cane. Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting us know that it's a surety that that's going to happen if we are born-again Christians. Father, just bless this word. Be with us, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. Bless this day. Just take care of us, Lord. Lead us and guide us by your word. Be with each one, Lord, that's not here, that's sick, and different ones, Lord, that you bless them, ones that are on the highways and traveling back and forth. I pray that you'd bless them, Father. Be with the missionaries in the foreign fields, Lord. Just touch their heart and give them fruit for their labor. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Make that where you can see it in a minute. How'd do that? Now, here we go. Sorry about that. That better? All right. Well, we could quote this anyway. You didn't even need to see it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter or see or understand the kingdom of God. John 16, verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Jesus speaking. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Like I said before, he's speaking through the bride, and he will show you things to come. You may be seated. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're looking toward, we're going to stop today and talk about a couple of things that we have not really discussed. Kind of break it down for the morning, and then do a little preaching this afternoon. But we're trying to get to a place of maturity, amen? Every one of us trying to get to a place of maturity. You shouldn't be satisfied with where you are. You shouldn't be satisfied with what you are. All right, we're going to be what God told us. We're going to agree with him that we are perfect. But on this side, looking at us, it's kind of sometimes hard to look in the mirror and say, you're a perfect guy. Come look in my mirror then. Y'all come look in my mirror and you look and see the same. You'll see a person that's not perfect. But I'm just going by what God said. But he gave us a way to get there. And he said we are going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. There's somebody that's not going to die. Somebody is going to tell death, you do not have a hold on me anymore. All right? But it's not going to be a baby driving the car. It's going to be a mature bride that knows what to do, Brother Bram said, with the Word of God. Somebody that's studied, somebody that's prayed, somebody that's read your Bible, that's listened to the prophet's message, that listens to sermons and really gets something out of it, all right? Because the Bible tells us the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. Now remember, the wife made herself ready here. Yes. We're not waiting to get to perfection. Perfection has met us here. Yes, sir. All right? Our white robes are here. Yes. Not coming. We're not going to receive white robes. The day you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your soul was robed in the robe of righteousness. Yes. Your soul was robed in perfection. You say, I can't see it. Well, there's a dual thing we got to look at, and that's why that we get the statue of perfect man. And we'll talk about it in just a minute. There's a spirit realm of you that's human. Your soul is obviously the real you, but there's a spirit part of you that's human, that is a nature that, you know, we fight it. Yes. Everybody fights. Who do you fight the most? You fight yourself. All right? But there is a there is a place for us to be. There's a place that the prophet of God, I believe in the end time, that Irenaeus and Martin and Luther and different ones, they couldn't stand behind the pulpit and say, hey, you are the perfect, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Now, they may have weaved it in their sermon, but they ended it by baptizing people in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They ended it by saying, let's speak to the Trinity. All right? So they didn't have everything. They were robed, but they were robed in their soul. All right? They were whitest. They were white, righteous in their soul. But their humanity, their spirit realm is what was controlling or suppressing because of what they heard. All right? We'll read it in just a minute. That's why that the prophet had to come. That's why I keep reading it, that there's the weakness was where? Pulpit. Weakness was in the pulpit. But now, being that the weakness is in the pulpit, I declare to you today the strength is in the pulpit. Yes, sir. If it's the truth, the strength is in the pulpit, and it's out to you, making us all stronger. Right. Taking us somewhere. Right. Not just, you know, well, it's Sunday. Well, it's Wednesday. Well, it's Bob, oh, Brother Bob. Well, we love Brother Bob. Oh, my goodness, he's been in Hebrews for all this time. I wish he'd stay in Hebrews. Okay? I'm 130-something on the Son of Man. I hadn't even got to the Son of Man yet. So we're getting there. Thank God he gave us all this time to get ready. But there's one day when he's going to say, hey, listen, hey, I've had enough. Come on up a little higher. There's that call. And where's the call coming from? It's coming from inside you. If you have the new birth, there has to be a call inside of you. All right? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So the marriage, when you become born again, you become married, you are Mrs. Jesus Christ, right? He robes you with righteousness. He robes your soul. It's just as perfect as God is. It has changed into an 18-year-old kid. I just believe that. That's the power that's already laying inside of you if you're born again today. Already laying inside of you. All right? But then we got to get that out to the spirit realm, because Satan can play in that spirit realm and seemingly push God back into your soul. I said seemingly, because sometimes we feel defeated. Sometimes we feel like we're not worth anything. Sometimes we feel like we're not perfect. Sometimes we feel like, well, it just ain't worth it. It's worth it. Yes, sir. We'll talk about that in just a minute, because I want to break something down for you that we haven't done before. On you must be born again, Brother Brown, so you're still what you are until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. You know, Brother Brown tells us, he said, the soul is the nature of the Spirit. And that really just turns people upside down. And that's where you get your two-soul doctrine, and you know, your spirit overtakes this, and anyway, garbage. But the soul is the nature of the spirit. What if you today, if you love the Lord, you come to church, you set aside time, you're here to take your memory that you have learned from Brother Dale and Brother Bob and the different ones, Brother Aaron, Brother Luis, and listen to those different ones, and Brother Collie long time ago when he used to do Sunday school class and different ones he used to preach. You know, you. What? You're using your memory. Yes, sir. You're pulling that out like a computer. You've got it stored and you're pulling it out. Either that or you're sitting here numb. Or you're just sitting here not thinking about nothing. How to fix your tractor. How to cut your grass. One brother told Brother Dale one time, said, Brother Dale, said, I'm going to be honest. He said, I didn't hear a thing you said. He said, but I figured out how to fix my tractor while I was sitting in church. Well, at least he was honest. Well, praise the Lord. I know our mind wanders. Don't tell me your mind doesn't wander off. Am I preaching to the right? Oh, Brother Anderson's like. So the soul is the nature of the spirit. Your spirit, your soul feeds off and it has to come through memory, reason. It's got to come through that filter. All right? But now I want to tell you something, though. When we get to a spot, I want you to see something that even Brother Dale years ago, You know, Brother Bram said you have one sense in the soul, faith or doubt, right? Five in the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Five in the natural realm. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But inside you, you have either God or the devil. That's it. All right? But it never dawned on him till he was, and we'll read it in here in just a minute. When Brother Brown went across the curtain of time, he was in his theophany. He was in his soul that was eternal, and he had met people that their soul was eternal. And they spoke to him. They had memory of him. They were conscious that he, we'll read it here in just a few minutes, when he went across the curtain of time. So when Brother Howell went across the curtain of time, it wasn't just his soul and it's like hanging up in the closet. No. He has fresh memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. And I don't think his memory is completely blank to what he was on earth. It wasn't to Brother Branham. It wasn't to those people. They said, hey, you were a leader. They had their memory reason, but it was way bigger, way more expanded than what ours is. Because we have that thing, like Brother Bob said, you know, well, that brother did this to me. And that. Listen, when across the curtain of time, them brothers wasn't beating each other to death trying to get to Brother Branham. Come on, somebody. Them sisters wasn't going, I got to him first. No, they said, my precious brother. And they came in order and ran and hugged his neck. So the new birth is an experience. So you've got to experience it here. But where does it take place? The new birth takes place in your soul. Yes. And then it works its way out through the memory reason. But then Satan, because of the fall, he has access to work this way. Into that memory reason, conscious affection, imagination, and mess you up. Or try to mess you up. Listen, he can't make your soul... Listen to me. He can't make your soul sin. You're a free moral agent. But if you're a Christian today, your soul can sin. You say, Brother Bram says, I sin every day. You sin in your spirit realm every day. Listen, I sin because I don't let my soul take over. That's my sin. My sin is unbelief. That's why Brother Bram said that's all sin was unbelief. Listen to the inside. The new birth is an experience. Something takes place. So it's not, in other words, it's not the what we always thought was a new birth was that now I get this new feeling, now I get this new emotion, now I get this, now. That's not it. It's what? It's Jesus Christ personally coming to you. His person coming to your person, cleaning out your person, not destroying you. You're still a human. Not destroying you, but he comes and dwells inside of you. He loves something about you. Because he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. God don't lie. God does not lie. He can't lie. If he come on the day of Pentecost and told them, hey, I'm pleased to dwell in those 120 people, came to Jesus on the River Jordan by type, and said, I'm pleased to dwell in that human vessel. What about me and you? The day you got born again, God said, hey, I love that guy. I love that sister. But I don't like their ways. So I'm going to send apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. See, you can go the other way and you can say, well, if my soul is already perfect, if I'm already redeemed, why do I need you? Why do I need to study? Because that soul inside of you wants out. He's wanting to work in your memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. So the preaching of the word is for what? Driving out unclean spirits. The only way you can cast out a devil really is by the word of God. All right? Because Satan can't cast out Satan. And you can't say, well, I'm going to just, you know, do like the Catholic Church. You're going to put the water on you and throw stuff at you and all that stuff. You can't do that. You preach the word of God and make that devil so mad till you don't want to live there anymore. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we have become powerless without the new birth. And then we were talking about a permitted power. Power was given what? Given to Satan to do what? It was given to Satan to do one thing. One thing. and that's keep you from getting born again. You say, well, no, it's pornography. It's this. No, it's to keep you from being born again. If he can keep you from being born again, he's got all the other stuff. That's why Brother Ram said the new birth, right? He said sin is unbelief.
Yes.
Listen, your person today, your person, your soul, is believing or not believing. If you're a non-believer, you're just sitting here. I did that for years as a young kid. But power was given, well, so did y'all. Well, after your birth, you're just dead. I mean, you're dead all the way around. All right? That's why it's so important. That's why I'll read this quote where Brother Brown talks about your soul's worth 10,000 worlds. I'll read it here in just a minute, because we're going to get into the soul and separate it just a little bit more than we did the other day. But now remember where in Revelations you look at, we're going to get into the seals here pretty quick. Where do these white horse riders come from and where do they go? Where do they come from? They come from you. White, righteous. A horse is a power. And when Brother Branham broke that seal open, when God broke that seal to Brother Branham, Satan had to what? Ride away. He had to ride off. He had to get away from that word that Brother Branham was preaching. He had to get away from it. That's why you and I, that's why I said, let out what you are. Either you got those and you realize you got them, or you realize you've got the lion, ox, man, and eagle inside, and let that do the work. So we want the horses, I don't care what color they are, we want them to ride away from us.
Yes, sir.
All right? Because we are a white righteous bride that's going to ride on a white horse.
Yes,
but now remember, not to battle. No. We come back, Revelation 19, victorious. Riding on a white horse. With a man leading us that said, word of God down his thigh. Guess what? All of us have the word of God down our thigh as we come out. But that power was permitted to do one thing. And that was almost to see the very elect. But it was to show that God knew what he was doing. Oh, come on. Instead of just saying, okay, your soul is... Yeah, you're it. You know, day of Pentecost. All right, Peter, you ain't got to do nothing else. Now you're done. You're sealed. No, what did it do to Peter? It really unsealed who Peter was. They came out of a sealed door, opened up the sealed windows. Huh? All that they were sealed up, they were scared about. Once they received this dunamis or this power, then what did that first thing they did? They run outside and said, hey, this is that. Brother Bam tells us that Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, but the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church. Now look, come into the church, not come into the bar rooms and not come into the church. This is all the devil's worried about. He's not worried about them guys out there. He's worried about you. And he's really worried. Because remember, we have his answer. We know how to handle him now. We're supposed to be able to. And defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. By doing what? Saying, well, come shake my hand and you're born again. Come and say three Hail Marys and you're born again. Come and let me sprinkle you and you're born again. Oh, it doesn't matter. You can't. Well, you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. You can't live that life. They're exactly right. But if you got somebody inside of you, he can live that life if we'll just let him out. Church Age book says, Satan crept into the church and blinded the people to this truth. He's talking about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Trinitarian doctrine. That's all false. When they were blinded to it, who blinded them? The preachers. The priest. They blinded the people. The Pope. It wasn't long till the Church of Rome stopped baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 2, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That word hatest means detest. God detests false doctrine, which I also detest, he said. In other words, there was a group of people that stood one day and said, hey, I don't believe that Cerinthius guy. I don't believe that false teaching over here from brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Everybody with me? Revelation 2:14, but it keeps going to another church age. I have a few things against thee because you hold the doctrine. There are them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, same thing in the message today, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine. So now it's come to a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Look, which things I hate. He said, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth, which is the word. Resurrection 1953, Brother Adam says, see, I don't want to blame you people. It's the pulpits where it started. No wonder that's the damnation of the country when Satan got in the pulpit. That's the truth. Failing to preach what? The unadulterated word of God or a furtherment of the gospel, I'm saying. Statue of perfect man, growth development, not just that you got it and just you're here. No. Failing to preach the unadulterated word of God. And the word of God will what? Produce just exactly what it said it would do. I say to you today, hang on. This thing will produce itself. It'll have to produce itself. But we explain it all away. It's all away. That's for some other day. Nope, it's for here. 1964, talking about Satan. Got a hold of the masterpiece in the Garden of Eden. But praise God, the great sculptor. He started back what? He started back with that foundation, and then he's building a stature of a perfect. He's building a bride, like I'm going to tell you in a few minutes, that can withstand all this. Yes. There's some that couldn't. They couldn't withstand that. Listen, that doctrine of Father, Son, Holy Ghost come from the pits of hell, Brother Branham said. But they received that, and they took it into their person, not their soul. But they took it into their being and preached it. Satan was doing all that. God never preached a Trinitarian doctrine. See, that's something it's hard for us to understand. That how Luther can be born again. That's why a lot of people thought he wasn't. Luther can be born again, sealed, perfect in his soul. Got a white robe. But then he could preach a Trinitarian doctrine, which didn't come from there. It come from his person. It came from his personality. It came from what Satan could play with, his memory, reason, conscience, reasoning. Still got reasoning, though you're born again. Still got reasoning. Still got memory, reason, conscious, all these different things. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Then we come to a place where Brother Branham had to divide this out. And remember, look, this is on the first seal. So on the very first seal, he is setting a precedence. I am talking to the bride only. Because those white horse riders, folks, that was in the church of his day. He was dealing with it. He could see it. Those Pentecostals that could live like the devil out there and come into church and speak in tongues and interpretation and sound like angels, he said. He knew where that horse was. Come truth, he had a problem with that horse. Well, get quiet. But he did. Where did it ride away from? Him. Because he preached several times, the Mighty Conqueror, back in the late 50s. He preached out of Revelation 6 that white horse rider was somebody sitting on it was the Holy Ghost down through the church. He told you that. Well, that was false. All right? But he had to come to a truth, and he did. Praise God for the opening of these seals, he said. For all the different doctrines that he had already preached. He preached serpent seed. He preached all these different doctrines. Why am I against organized religion? Why am I against this? Then he comes up in 1963 at the seals. He said, now I know why. I hated that system so much. Now I know why. That white horse rider was not Christ. He was the Antichrist. So we come to a spot where Brother Man says, hey, I'm talking to the bride only. Remember, he said, this is that third pull. Who is it to? The bride, church, and totally lost. Well, in other words, he was separating each one so that we would understand. And listen, because if you get caught in the church, you can be a foolish virgin, but you can't be bride. That's why I call you bride. That you'll understand. Do you understand today that you're bride? Oh, I think I'll just make it as a foolish virgin. No, you won't. Foolish virgin is somebody that hasn't been taught. We can't plead that. Sorry. And then never since Jesus Christ on earth, I was thinking about this even yesterday, a formidable opponent. I was, if you look on YouTube, it's kind of, well, it's not really funny. But you remember who Mike Tyson is, you know, he's this bad guy. I mean, he'd knock you out in about 10 seconds. Well, there was this one guy, I mean, he was cocky and he was pointing fingers and he's, you know, you're out of here. I've got you. And he was this much taller than him, than Tyson. They went out there and the bell went ding and 8 seconds later, that guy was knocked completely out. He hit him one time. That's the way the devil ought to be. He thinks we're so little and so insignificant. You just wait. He now has a formidable opponent. If he tells you this, you'll say, no, that's not right. If he tells you this, no, that's not right. If he tells you this, no, that's not right. Confuse him. He's confused us long enough. Let's confuse him. Tired of that, being confused. We're all confused. Unless we have good teaching and a mature ministry. Amen. Brother Ram said, look, there's been brides, there's been churches, brides, brides. Now, see, there's been brides down through the church age. But remember, when a bride, marriage and divorce, the bride commits adultery against the groom, he can put her away and marry another, right? According to the Bible. And in type, that's what happened. The Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists, they were bride. And there's some bride in there. But they the word didn't go on further. They took on that denominational idea. And God had to put them away. I'm divorcing you. Remember, he divorced Israel in the Old Testament. He can do that. But he's got a bride in every church age. And he sure got a bride in this age. Because he said right here, but there's got to come one. You see how he's honing this thing down? As that pyramid hones down, everything's being honed down to just a small group of people that's going to really receive this and carry it on to the coming of the Lord. But there's got to come one, hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. Now, not the other brides were false. They were false brides, but they weren't that false being not born again. There must come one that's got not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics. Now, what's the mechanics? The mechanics is the Word of God. And then the dynamics is the Spirit on the Word of God. Everybody with me? All right? Quickening what you heard according to the mechanics, that dynamic sparks what's inside that engine. Everybody with me? All right? We've got an engine. We've had maybe the mechanics all these years. We've had the workings of the Word of God, you know, the cylinders and the valves and the camshaft and all the different things. We got that, but without a spark, without fuel, it just sit there and it'll rot. But with the dynamics in it, carry us down the road. See, this is what, until we come to that place, until we find that place, what good is it to just polish the hubs? We're talking about, look, the token the other Sunday. Full obedience. Now, look, the brides down through the church ages were not fully obedient. The first church ages, maybe, but then it got eroded, like I said before, like God told us, said, I have something against you. You've accepted these false doctrines, these deeds, now the doctrines, you've accepted them, and I've had to put you away. That didn't mean that there was not born-again believers. Don't ever think that. There are going to be way more in the church ages behind us than they are us. Because remember, this is what? Honing time. but full obedience, look, to the full Word of God. They didn't have the full Word of God. They thought they did. Luther thought he did. Wesley thought they did. But they did not. But now we have the full Word of God, so that entitles us to the token. What does it do? That token keeps us from death. They died in the Old Testament. They died in the old church ages. They died in part of this church age. But the full Word entitled us to that token that went over the door that not only saved our soul, but it's going to change our body.
Amen.
That's the full Word of God. Entitles us to this token. And what happened when that token was applied right? No death angel. And they got to leave. The next morning, remember, after the doorpost, they went out the next day, next morning. Look, not what somebody has put into it and added to it, but what God said about it. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." Now, hold that thought, because we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Because Brother Brown told us that what? He's a very timid, Holy Spirit's very timid. You know what he does? He'll set in your soul. Come on. He'll set in your soul and let you do something wrong. To see what you'll do. Even Brother Brown said he'll have one brother say something against you to see how you'll react. Now that sounds a little like provoking. But no, it's proving. It's proving who you are. We are going to prove who we are. You're not going to be able to help it. You're going to prove who you are. You know why? By who you are. All right? And how we react. As Brother Bob was talking about brotherly kindness and all these different things, you just don't see that much. There's not like, if you take brotherly kindness and run it right down just like I did the other day and like Brother Bob did, there's really not a lot of people that has brotherly kindness. See, the Holy Spirit is so timid. How many knows that? Just real timid. So he's just going to sit there. And he's going to wait on you. Brother Ram said he'll go out on a limb. He don't go out of your body and go sit on a limb of a tree. But in figurative, he does. You know, but that's the only thing Brother Brown could use as a example, was that he withdraws himself until you get yourself straightened out. Then you know why? Because that thing, this is your soul. That thing can't stand sin. That's why when you do something wrong and something goes, shouldn't have done that. And then we wait a little bit later, and like Brother Dale says, we make it your fault. No, I'm like Brother Bob. If I've said anything to offend you, forgive me. I really, really don't want anything against me. If we have to go across that curtain of time, Brother Brown said death does what? Doesn't change you. Changes your dwelling place. If you harbor feelings here, how you gonna go there? Can't do it. So any interruption bothers him. That's why we don't talk all in church, all as you know, just a hello brother, God bless you, or changing of the tunes or whatever up here. But no conversation. Man, you go to a Baptist church, and we went to one not very long ago, a year or so ago, and it was just like a lodge. You walked in the back, and they're leaning up against, you know, they're leaning up inside right here, and they're talking back and forth, and everybody's milling around talking. It sounds like Walmart, you know, it's just, you hear voices. And then about 5 minutes before the 6 o'clock service starts, they just kind of start migrating into a seat somewhere. They never prayed, they never done anything, they're talking about everything in the world. Well now, okay, where was the Holy Ghost? It was grieving the ones of us that did have it when we walked in the door. Did it grieve them? I'm not saying they don't have the Holy Ghost, but it didn't grieve them because their doctrine said they could do that. That's the doctrine God hates. That's why Brother Bram said make it cold, formal, and powerless, because he's not even in those denominations anymore. He's trying to pull people out. Yes, they will be foolish virgins. Yes, there'll be people given eternal life, but there are no bride in the denominational system. Well, I'll say amen, because look at it. Look at it. But God promised he would restore. How's he going to restore? He's going to restore through a ministry, fivefold ministry, that gives it to the people, and then they eat and become what that ministry talks about. And you go through all these stages. Let's just get through that, because you know what, metamorphosis, I want to start right here. Let's talk about your soul just for a minute. Put everything away. Put the chicken away. Bob just had to say mashed potatoes. Put the mashed taters away. Put the macaroni and cheese away. That's three favorites, so put them away. Let's talk about this just for a minute. Then we'll eat all that when we go downstairs. All right? God says, behold, look, all souls are mine. He didn't say all spirits. He didn't say all bodies. He said all souls are mine. All right? As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. Then he sums this whole thing up and says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Didn't say the body. Didn't say the spirit. Said the soul that sinneth. Now, what is a soul? Let's look at the Hebrew lexicon. We've been through this many, many times before. Well, we got some new ones, and we got some that need to really hear this. I need to really hear it, because I'm the one that put it in here just a few minutes ago, because I thought, man, I need to listen to this too. Your soul is yourself. Now, look, hold on just a minute. There's a spirit of humanity, all right? There's a spirit, because animals have a spirit. They can function. They see. Taste, feel, smell, and hear. They have memory, they have reason, conscious affection. But not in the soul. Everybody with me? Because they can't, it's not a person, it's not an individual. To me, you look at deer and you look at all that, that's nature. That's God. That's God's nature moving through animals. And he said it was good in the Garden of Eden. They can procreate, and it's good. But me and you can't just procreate anytime we want to, because we have a soul. There's something that's going to be judged. Those animals are never going to be judged. Never will they be judged. All right. The reason they are what they are now, because they're eating each other and getting killed on the highway, is because of who? You. When Adam fell, everything above. Look, when Adam fell. Now, this is not Christ. I mean, but Adam was the apex, he was the headstone of the human race. Amen? He fell because he wasn't the savior of the human race. But he was the head of the human race. He had power on everything on earth. He had power. He was given that power. But he traded it to save his bride. Okay? Jesus Christ, same way. He had power over everything, and he gave it away to get his bride. Then he's the only one that can save us, and he's the only one that can come back up and say, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He goes right back to being the headstone again. Because remember, he was the chief cornerstone to build the human race, to build us, the bride. He became down here. That was cut off. That was done away with. They rejected the man standing there that could save them all. But there's a group of people that's going to be his body, his bride body, that he's going to build, and then he's going to be happy to be in us and sit right down on top of us. All right? Be our head. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this just for a minute. Strong's Concordance. Soul is self. Life. Creature. Person. Appetite. Mind. Living being. Desire, emotion, and passion. All right, now look. That which breathes, the breathing substance, being soul, the inner being of a man. Now, when a soul leaves a man, what happens? He quits breathing. And you look, and I want to try to explain this and not hurting anybody's feelings, because death is not a good thing as far as the way we look at it. Because it's a separation, it's a gap. We're intertwined together, and we've been with Brother Howell since I was about 8 or 9 years old, and we fished and we hunted. We all went to the fishing thing with the Father's Day, but that part's gone. That part's gone. Never to come back like that again. Okay? But now look. That which breathes, the breathing substance. When Brother Howell was passing from this life to the next life, something happened in his body to release that soul. What happens when somebody dies? They die because they can't keep their soul inside their body. Is that not what death is? Your soul leaves your body? Because there's something. I am now functioning. My soul is functioning. My body is functioning and my spirit's functioning because everything's working together. Everybody with me? Don't go to sleep. This is your soul. It's worth 10,000 worlds. Words and worlds. But something inside of you has stopped. When your heart stops, your soul leaves your body. Right? When you stop breathing, when you can't breathe, when different things happen to you. That's why that soul is so important. But it's also important to make sure you keep the other guy, outside guy, healthy too. I know, bodily exercise doesn't profit much, but it does help to do a little bit to keep that thing back together. Right, Sister Ruth? She said, praise the Lord. But living being, look, with life in the blood, now keep going, the man himself, so he... The definition has come to, because a living being is a deer. A deer is a living being, but it's not a living person. All right, it's not something that you named. Well, some we do name our pets, so. But it's a living being with life in the blood, but it's not a man. It's not himself. It's not a person. It's not an individual. It's the seed of your appetite. It is. Seed of emotions and passions. Look, activity of mind, all right? Activity of the will. So see, that stops all animals. Animals do not have a will. They are controlled by nature. They do the same thing all the time unless we mess it up and build a road through their hunting property where they go hunting at. That's why we hit a lot of deer and things and kill them. The activity of the will. Look, activity of the character. You look at a little dog, and a little dog, he'll develop some kind of a little character, but he's not a person. He's not going to look at you one day and say, no, I don't want to do that. But now your kid, when it's born, it's going to look at you one day and say, no, I don't want to do that. Right? Somebody said one day, said, a little bitty small kitten will walk across this right here like this and look over that way and look over that way and walk around, never will fall off. But you put a baby right here, that baby gonna fall off. All right, but what I'm saying is that they're controlled by a nature that's a little different than ours. We've got to develop one. That cat can jump, move, all those other animals, they can do things superhuman sometimes. And then the baby's like, help me. So it's an activity of a character. So watch this. This is Brother Branham. Now we're talking about soul. Now what went across the curtain of time when Brother Branham said, I stepped across the curtain of time. He said, I looked back and saw what? My body, and it was moving. So it wasn't dead. It was moving. He made that pretty plain. It was moving. All right? So when he stepped across a curtain of time, what stepped across? It was the real him. His soul. But when he stepped across that curtain of time, like I said before, he wasn't just something that you hang up in the closet and wait till the other parts come together. No, he had memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. All those people had memory, reason, conscience. He goes, watch this. And the voice that was above me said, this is something like Jacob when he had gathered with his people. Just then I looked and men were coming, by the groups, knocking each other out of the way. By the groups, brotherly kindness. Millions of them. Oh, my. And they were running, throwing their arms around me and screaming, my precious brother. They knew who he was. And my, you know, I was married before and my wife died, Billy's mother. That's the reason Billy and I stick together. She died when he was 18 months old. His little sister was 8 months old. She died with the mother. I've been papa and mama to Billy. And I seen Hope coming, working her way through the crowd. Now, he is standing in his theophany. Is everybody with me? He's standing in his soul. And his soul is going, that's my wife. Right? He's thinking, that's my wife. She's on this side, heading toward him, not saying that's my husband. Because she had broke through. He was kind of in between. She had broke through and was completely in this realm, but she knew he was a brother, and she had no problem. Brother Brown said, she did what? Oh, I thought surely she'll call me her husband. And when she got close to me, see, I could see her, bless her heart, black hair, German girl, you know. Black hair, she threw her arms around me and she said, my darling brother. I thought, I don't understand this. There's another woman, just a girl, put her arms around me and said, my precious brother. And she hugged this woman and said, think of it. Look, now look, think of it. He's finally arrived with us. They must have knew he was coming. He's finally arrived with us. These men, they picked me up, so they knew who Brother Branham was. They picked him up and set me upon a little place like this. I said, why is this? He said, in earth, you was a leader. I said, I don't understand it. Just then the voice spoke to me and said, this is when you gather with your people. I said, when I die, you mean this is what I'll be? Yes. I said, oh, why do I ever fear this? This is wonderful. Oh, my, just perfection. That won't reach it. Superb. That wouldn't reach it. There's not words in the English dialect that could reach it. God knows why I'm telling this from my heart. It happened. So those people were aware with their senses. But they must have known in their self who Brother Branham was. Because they came there under his ministry. Because I cut some of that out. But Brother Branham said, are these all Branhams? He's the voice said, no. These are your converts. Not Paul's, not Peter's, not Billy Graham, not Oral Roberts. These are your converts. In other words, they heard his message and accepted God. Accepted Christ as their Savior under his ministry. And they knew that. He's finally arrived. They've been looking for him. That's in the soul. Brother Brown tells us, I don't have this, I'm just going to read it. 1957, I already shut my computer and I pulled this off. But Brother Brown says, look, says, come right here. People are coming from the balcony. They may be coming to an altar, this altar. I want them to come right on. I'm waiting for you, my dear friend. Oh, this little body of yours is not worth much, but that soul's worth 10,000 worlds. Now listen to what he says, though. This is healing on a higher level. This is eternal healing. He's talking about your new birth. Eternal healing is the healing of the soul. You don't have to do that but one time. Because he continues on. He said, look, if a man gets healed here at the platform, he's going to get sick again. If he lives long enough. But if a man gets saved, he's got everlasting life and will raise up in the last day. There's your difference. This is eternal healing. He said, this is eternal. I believe he said, this is eternal healing. This is temporary healing. All right? Now listen. One soul's worth 10,000 worlds. Then God said, all souls are mine. I'm here to protect because what's going to go to the day of judgment? Sure, Listen, we're not. But the ones that do have to go to the judgment, their soul, everything they got goes there. But God's going to judge their soul because their soul emanated out through their, come on somebody, through their spirit and their body, and it made them react in a way not godly. But it all emanated from the soul. All right? Now, I know there's a lot we can talk about there, but the soul is the most important thing. I know Brother Ram said you can go completely back crazy in your mind and commit suicide and your soul still be born again. Now, remember that. All right? But I want you to realize something. Be careful with that. Look at the life. We all have issues and problems. We all let devils get on us. Am I preaching to the same crowd? We all let demons get a hold of us sometimes. But you need to get rid of that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. You don't exactly have to call the pastor. You don't exactly have to call a deacon. You exactly have that in your hole right here, in that hole called a mouth. But it comes from whatever's inside. Now remember, if Satan's inside here, he can't cast himself out. That's why Brother Brown said they'll say Jesus, Jesus, and not get anything. Because Jesus wasn't in their soul. He wasn't. You become an anointed one then. An anointed one, now let's talk about that just for a second before we get to this. An anointed one, what happens to him? His soul has not been converted. All right? But he has been anointed. He has entered a realm of God that God made. Listen, God makes these promises, by my stripes you're healed. That's to everybody. Yes. Sinner and saint. Brother Brown, he'll tell you. He said, sinners will come by this platform and get healed. And he said, saints will not get healed. Why? Because the saint's going, oh, I did this. I did this to my neighbor. And all. But a prostitute just walked up and said, hey, I believe what that guy says. I believe what that guy says. If he says I'm healed, then I'm healed. And listen, God's got a healer. Right? So you enter in. Listen, that to me, anointed ones is temporary. We've been talking about it. Anointed ones is temporary. But when you're, the soul inside of you is God, that's not an anointing. That's the birth. That's where you're sealed until the day of your redemption. That's where God burns you out and puts him in. Think about it. Think about what God did for you. He gave you a new heart. We've been talking about that. He softens you up. Why? So that he can, the timid Holy Spirit can enter in. You can't forget he's not timid all the time. He is timid all the time. All right? So that's why this is important when we read 2 Peter 1. He's talking to your soul. All right? Is everybody with me? Peter's talking to the soul of man. Because you don't get the divine nature and divine power in your spirit realm. He's talking to your soul. And Peter's a real good one to do that because he knows one thing on that day of Pentecost. Something got burned out of him. And something got put in him. Amen? So what better preacher that could go through, that went through all these emotions, cursing and you know, all those things, and then now he's trying to teach us how to have the divine nature of God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, his soul, the soul of God, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that had called it. Who called you? Jesus Christ called you to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, what? You might be divine partakers. Look, be partakers of what? Someone's divine nature. You were not born with a divine nature. You were born with a nature. All right? God gave you a soul, permitted you to come here to give you a choice. Everybody with me? But that you might be what? Partakers. We can stand up here all day and talk about that good mashed potatoes and that good chicken and all that good stuff downstairs. And you know what? If you're not allowed to go down there and eat it, you're just going to sit here and die. But we can talk about it all we want to. Talk's cheap when it's on paper. You got to make it live. Listen, white paper's cheap and black ink's cheap. But when you got to make it live, we're going to go downstairs and eat. Whereby are giving unto us look at exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look, having escaped, you were bound. You were in prison.
Yes.
You were incarcerated.
Yes.
You were put in the pawn shop. You were dead.
Yes.
You've escaped that. How? You had a nature change. You had the devil's nature thrown out, and God's nature put in. That's what you have with the new birth. You've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped going to judgment. Why? Because God's going to judge a soul, right? All souls are mine. It's the soul that sinneth that dies. Right? So he's judging souls. He can't judge yours. If you're born again, because it's him.
Right.
It's so much him. Brother Brown said one time, it's so much him till you're X'd out.
Right.
I mean, you're completely gone. The life that I now live, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. We must have the mind of Christ. Our problem is we try to use ours a lot. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what I was telling yesterday. You know, we weren't just celebrating a life yesterday. We were celebrating a son of God.
Amen.
Born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost,
yes.
Son of God.
Yes.
Celebrating that life.
Yes.
Sure, we talked about, but see, in all of our, everything that we talked about Brother Howell, it all culminated in that he was born again.
Yes.
That's what I was telling him. I said, you can say all the good stories. I said, it would be a different story. I didn't say this, but it would be a different story if he was a ranked sinner. Come on, it would. Oh, yeah, you could have real happy this and happy that, but not somebody that held, that people could say that worked with him. All those years that never seen a man like that, Christian man. Oh, yeah, listen. These people in that building that probably said, well, I remember when Brother Hal got mad and throwed something. So what? That's the human part. Oh, you don't do that. Well, you need to go to another church, and I don't think you're going to be able to find it. Because we do have issues. We're not going to get into it. We may get into it this afternoon. When you come out of that spirit realm is where you have your issues. Because listen, one more time, if your soul is the soul of God, how can it have issues? God don't have issues. Issues means problems. We used to say it when we was at the chicken plant. They'd say, look, don't say ever say problem. Say issues. It's the same thing. We have issues. Well, that means we have problems. But look. Brother Howell was a son of God because of the new birth. Not really because he was a human daddy. That's the human part. That's what I want to tell you. Over here in the human part, separate that part. He was a daddy to Janet and Debbie, right? But in his soul, he was a son of God. Child of God. And he received the spirit of adoption when he got born again, but he didn't come to it. Am I with me? Sorry, I mean, when you can't be adopted in heaven. Can't be adopted in heaven. You got to have these virtues. Why? Peter stood one day and he said, add to your faith right here. Right now, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance. Here. In other words, your walk. Peter said, our walk has got to be the walk of that man that I walked with for 3.5 years and didn't understand him. But I want to be like Peter. I really do. I really do. Because Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, I prayed for you. I know Satan's going to sift you like sand because of your nature. Satan's going to bother you because of who you are. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to let you know. You may not know it now, but I know in my mind from back before the foundation of the world, you're going to preach a sermon in 2 Peter. There's going to be a sermon preached that's going to help not just your little handful, but thousands and millions of people. Wow. And Peter's going, I'll fight for you, Lord. Didn't even understand what he... And Jesus, I'm praying for you, Peter. I know what you're going to do. You're going to cuss three times. You're going to deny me that you don't even know me. Come on. And you're going to come up and get all full of yourself, and you're going to take this sword instead of this sword. You're going to take and whack that guy's ear off. But I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you. Put your name in there. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Father, Father. In other words, your soul is redeemed. You're into the family of God. Now listen, as Brother Dale said many, many years ago, God does not adopt Satan's kids, so you got to get into the family before you can get adopted. All right? That's why we'll read here this afternoon that your adoption and your birth is two different things. Now you receive the spirit of adoption. Peter, you're in line, but you got to get in the family. Peter, you're in line. I'm going to use you. I'm going to pray for you. But until you get the Holy Ghost, you're not in my kingdom. Listen, the only kingdom of God is the people, the children of God, right? But you have received the spirit of adoption. Spirit itself, look, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this is Peter talking. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We're still in the soul, because when you become born again, you're a newborn babe, the Bible says, in Christ. But listen, that's why I wanted to pull this apart a little bit. We'll stop right here and we'll just pick it up this afternoon. When you're born again in your soul, I believe God changes your soul to an 18-year-old child, person. Did I get an amen? Amen. Do you not believe? I do. Listen, that's my hope. That's my driving force. Amen. That there's something inside of me different than what it was before. Yes, and the life that I now live. But that newborn babe is the second realm. Your soul's not a baby. Hey, listen. Even in that whole analogy there with Brother Bram going across the curtain of time, in another vision that he had, he saw who? Sharon Rose. Sharon Rose was 6 months old when she died. Brother Bram said, "Who are you?" She was a grown woman. We're not going to have babies running around in heaven. Nothing against children. You have them down here, Brother Collie laughed. You have them down here. But you want them to grow up too, don't you, Brother? Yeah, that's right. You want them to grow up. But as newborn babes, that's what we'll get to this afternoon. When you become born again, you're an 18-year-old person. And listen, the only thing that's hindering you is what? The next realm. Your spirit realm. Your spirit realm is a baby. You have a birth. It's God. Birth. It's got to work its way. Listen, you're contrary to God. The Bible says you're born contrary to God. So I just wish it changed my spirit realm. But it is now. Through a journey of tests and trials, tribulations. Why? So that we can love God more. So that we can love God more, that he's took us from a baby where we didn't know how to, we didn't know how to handle that soul that was inside of us. Because we weren't born with that kind of a person. We were born with a nature of whatever you got. Contrary to God. Now, the Bible didn't abominate. It's contrary. There's nothing about you good until you're born again. Nothing about you. Nothing. So now you went through your life being worthless. But you get up to whatever age you got the new birth. You get the new birth. Well, now listen. Your body is not going to automatically get younger. I wish it would. Your body is not going to automatically get younger. And your spirit realm is not going to know how to handle that new person inside of you. So the newborn babe part, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that what? That you may grow, not that you get. Now, Brother Bram had to give us an analogy. We'll close right here. He said it's like a little button. Remember? Didn't you remember that? It's like a little button that comes into you at the new birth, and then it grows. Well, I believe that. But that was his analogy of trying to tell you that your second realm was so much against it still. Am I with? Are we okay? That spirit realm don't know how to handle that soul. And that's where the fight is. That's where the newborn babe is. The newborn babe is the second realm guy. Listen, how can you have God inside of you and then him not be all-knowing? God's all-knowing all the time. And the part that you get of him is not less knowing. That's why, musicians come, that's why we have had so much trouble since the day of Pentecost. We have not been able to realize the body, spirit, soul, and their function. Even Paul tells us, he said, I wish that your whole body, soul, and spirit be sanctified. Got to start somewhere, though. Got to start by a new birth. That's why they call it new birth. All right? Newborn babes. You don't know how to handle this new birth, this new thing you got inside of you. Because listen, you were dead and lost. Now you're healed and eternal in your soul. Can't have a new thought. Can't change. Or it's not God. Everybody with me? So where is the change part? It's in your spirit realm. We'll talk about that. That's where you're a newborn babe. Because you take a person that, well, let's wait, do this afternoon. Let's sing a song. We'll do it this afternoon. It'll take too long to explain that. But a newborn baby desiring the sincere milk of the word. What's happening is that dynamo that's inside of you, that soul that now is all of God and you together, vulcanized. And when you vulcanize, remember what happens? Can't tell the difference. Can't pull them apart. Your body and spirit is learning how to deal with that. Let's stand to our feet. Does everybody believe that? I mean, I don't want you to not believe that. That's what it, your soul is eternal. So how are you going to take your body and your spirit that's not eternal and mesh that thing together so that it fires all the time the same way? It's by the word of God. And it's by listening, and it's by studying, and it's by praying. God, I know you're in here. Come on. Hey, God, I know you're in here. I know you want to get out. Let it out. Help me to change my memories and conscious effects and imagination. Help me. Oh, what a change in my life. Since when? Since God came in. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Like thee, Jesus, make me more.
Is that your desire? Let's worship him just for a moment. Oh, you don't have to go get something to eat. You're here. You can eat here.
That's filled with love and make me more like thee.
Live your life through me. Do you want him to live through you?
Your life through me and give me a heart that's filled with your love and make me more.
Sing it to him one more time.
Make me more like thee.
Your desire, make me more like thee, because we're born contrary. But when you get the new birth, you get that little spark that you need. Start listening to that. Listen, if it leads you in wrong, it ain't God. Pretty simple. That's why I believe we have Satan's answer. Because see, Satan would say, no, well, that's you know, you know, we know what happens in the soul, we know what happens in the spirit realm, we know how they're connected by our natural environment, right? But if you're born again in your soul, folks, Satan can't touch your soul. He cannot touch your soul. That's one thing he can't get his grimy hands on. He cannot get his grimy hands on your soul. If he touches your soul, it's going to be hotter than he'll ever get in hell. Right? Because you're a dynamo. That's the eternal. That's the man that created the world. Living inside of you. Sometimes we belittle the new birth that we have. It's the greatest thing, Brother Brown said, you'll ever have. It's to get born again. And then let that life out. Even the Bible tells us, is why hide it under a bushel? Why hide it in a basket? Let it out. Let's sing it one more time.
Live your life through me.
Is that your desire?
Jesus, live your life through me.
Father, Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that's assembled today, Lord. We pray now that as we go and eat a natural meal, that you'll continue to be speaking to us, Lord, and that you'll help us through into the second service, Lord, for your people. Father, I pray that you'd sanctify the food that we're about to partake of, Lord. As we go downstairs and just eat a natural meal, Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. And sanctify us, Lord, as we partake and come back with us, Lord, there at 2 o'clock. And, Lord, just be with us in the communion and foot washing today, Lord. What a wonderful time today we'll have. So I pray that you just do that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
God,
everyone eat now. Everyone
so
stay and eat.
Good. God
it
is so good.
He's so good.
Answers my